spirit of worship. We know God's going to bless us today. The Lord's Day today, we'll set aside to focus on Him and all that it means to us. Took a few announcements that are received and printed here, all but one here. On the 13th Tuesday, the deacons will meet at 7. The 13th. And the 15th Thursday at 10 a.m. Bible study. And on Saturday the 17th, the Eastern District Women's Auxiliary Meeting in Cold Creek. And the auxiliary meet on the 19th at 7, Monday evening at 7 p.m. Do we have any other announcements? All right, stand together, let's read together this part of it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people.
Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, small and great.
Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him glory.
Father God, it's a comfort to us this morning to know that You reign. Today we pray You reign in our hearts through the power of Your Spirit as we worship. Draw us close into Your presence, change us through the person You would have us to be, and strengthen us from on high as we worship this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to 416 and sing verses 1, 2, and 4. We're marching to Zion, 416.
Thank you.
fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable things. There is none who goes good, who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. He would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortune of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. Now in the New Testament, we'll look at the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after that one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of God.
Let's remember these names that we pray together this morning. So I'm going to pray for one another. And be thankful for God's blessing. Let's pray together. God, I praise and worship you, and I thank you this time we can come together as a church and pray. Pray for these needs, these names that we're called. Pray for our nation. Pray for the world. Pray for your church. Pray for each other. And just to offer faith.
thank you for the blessings you give to us. You promised to supply all our needs, and you've done that. We're humbled with the fact you sent Christ to die for our sins. And our prayer today is we pray for your power, your strength, your spirit to be real in our lives as we worship this morning. That we can be the person you created us to be, created us in your image. In times we mar that image, we confess that this morning, seek forgiveness and strength as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to 153, stand as we sing, worthy of worship. 153, being verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 4. So we've got a whole chapter and a few verses. I'm not going to read all this to you right now. That be your homework. Have it memorized by next week, all right? So we are going to begin a series called the Book of Beginnings. We're going to preach through the book of Genesis, see what we can learn. There's a lot of good stuff in there. I think that'll help us be the person God created us to be. So I am going to read verse 4 of chapter 2. It simply says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." You want to know where it all come from? God. So, if you're not already familiar with the book of Genesis, I hope by the time we're through, you'll be an expert on it. I believe you'll love it. Genesis has the most memorable opening phrase in the history of opening phrases. The opening phrase gives you insight into certain conclusions you can make from the start, what you might expect in the pages to come. Which brings us here to the book of Genesis. It has the all-time classic opening line, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Plain and straightforward. No room really for alternate translations or interpretations. I mean, there's only one way to say it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Say it with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We often sing that song, "This is my Father's world." You remember it? This is the message of the book of Genesis, especially Genesis 1 and 2, it's not enough to say it's God's world or it's the Creator's world. Church, it's your Father's world. And that's the title of our thought today. This is my Father's world. Now, there are many who think the Bible is a collection of stories only about good people doing good things. And that's not what you'll find in Genesis. Instead, you'll find good people making questionable life choices and regretting the spur-of-the-moment decisions. And I know none of y'all have ever done that. That crap down the road, right? You'll also find good people doing things they shouldn't be doing. And you'll see again and again how our lovingly Heavenly Father can bring redemption and restoration into the most difficult situations. We got your attention here. How can God do that? Why would God do that? God does it because this is His world. This is our Father's world, and He created it. And today, as we look at the first chapter of Genesis, there are probably many questions running through your mind. And Genesis is not a book. This is not a chapter to confuse us. It's a chapter to help us understand who God is and what God has done and what He expects of us. So let's consider three observations, three truths that will help put the creation story into its proper context. I think there are three things here we need to recognize about Genesis chapter 1 so that we can develop a more biblical perspective of the world in which we live and the role that we're called to play in our Father's world. The first observation is, God created the world with intentions. Intention. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. The Hebrew verb there can be translated became, so it could literally say the earth became formless and empty.
formless and empty mean literally uninhabited or uninhabitable. So the earth became uninhabited and uninhabitable. It just wasn't a good place to be. And you know how the story goes from there. God saw this. And God said, let there be light, and light came into being. And then God separated the light from the darkness, and there's your first day. It's all in chapter 1. And on the second day, he created the sky. And the third day, he created the land. You know why he created land? Because he wanted you to have some cucumbers. Huh? Some salad. You had to have dirt to grow it in. Huh? That was your third day. Vegetable day. On the fourth day, he created the sun and the moon. Fifth day, he created creatures of the sea and birds of the air. Do y'all like chicken? Fried chicken? Created all the animals, the beasts of the field. That was the sixth day. And then God said, verse 26, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So they may rule over the fish, the sea, and the birds of the air, and the sky, over all the livestock, the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Wow. Verse 27 says, God created mankind in his own image. You're created in the image of God. You know that? In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 2 goes into greater detail about this step in the process, how Eve was created as the perfect companion. Ladies, I'll make you feel good, know you're the perfect companion. Perfect. It's God's intention. God said it was good. Verse 20 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. In reading about Genesis chapter 1, there's quite a bit of discussion about whether these are literal days or metaphorical days. I'm not going to get into that. I'm at peace with either of you. It'll make any difference to me. The point of Genesis chapter 1 is, and this can't be overlooked, is that God created the world and all that there is in it. Period. It doesn't require any interpretation. The universe coming into being was not some random accident, but rather it was an event in which God literally created everything as we know it. The world was created by a creator, our Father. And this is our Father's world. Our world was created with intention, with purpose, as if God were saying, this is exactly the way I want the world to be, full of light, full of air, full of water, full of food for everyone. And the man and the woman whom I created together, they will keep it in their care. David said in Psalm 104:24, how many are your works, Lord? In wisdom, you made them all. And this was God's intention from the very beginning. This means that there is nothing meaningless or impersonal about the world we live in or the role we're called to play. God created the world with intention. The second observation is God loves his creation. At the conclusion of creation, the Bible says God saw that it was good. And this refers to all of God's creation. You know what the word all means, don't you? All. The moon, the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. refers to all, everything that God created. It refers to man, to Adam, to Eve. It refers to all of their descendants as well, all the way up to 2022, September 11th. God loves His creation. Now, it can be argued that the world is a mess, because the fact is that we tend to make a mess of things. But that's not the way the world began. And that is not the way that the world was intended to be. No, when God created the heavens and the earth and the plants and the animals and the people of the world, He saw that it was all good. His purpose, His intention for His creation was to work together to sustain it. And it's good. David said, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works." Think about it. God takes pleasure in His creation. And in a poetic sense, His creation takes pleasure in Him. His creation reveals His glory and even rejoices in His glory. I'm amazed at how plants give glory to God. You can take a plant or tree or bush or anything and lay it on the ground and it'll stand up. You ever notice that? It's like it's reaching up towards heaven from where it receives its life. It recognizes, I believe, that God created all things. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands, David tells us in Psalm 19. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Psalm 148. God loves His creation. And His creation, with the exception of humankind, is in tune to its Creator. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees during the triumphal entry, if His followers didn't shout Hosanna when He arrived, that the stones themselves would cry out to Him. And here's what I'm saying. This universe in which we find ourselves, this earth in which we live, is a good and beautiful creation. It includes all of nature, as well as every human being throughout history. When I read Genesis chapter 1, I'm impressed by the idea that God cares about His creation. And since God cares about His creation, we should care about His creation too, shouldn't we? We should love what God loves, and we should love who God loves. Can you see that this morning? Isn't that an amazing insight? This is our Father's world. He created it. He loves it. And which leads to the direction of the third observation that I'd like to make. Number three, God wants us to love what He loves and who He loves. This means two things. First, we need to do all we can to take proper care of our environment. Just like we need to be good stewards of our time and our money and manage our finances. And, you know, we're to be good stewards of this planet, this creation that God has given to us. I'm not going to talk about what politicians need to do or what corporations need to do, but I want us to consider what we must do as individuals to be good stewards of that God has placed in our care. We can ask ourselves, am I properly overseeing this little corner of the world where God has given me? Am I taking care of my property, my land? Do I make the effort to recycle? Am I the one throwing in bottles and paper out the coal winter out in the ditch? Huh? Do I clean up after? Am I leaving my little area of the world better, a better place than I found it? We have to act responsibly with what God has entrusted to us. God cares about the world He created. He wants you and me to care about it too. He wants us to do our part as stewards of His creation. Did you get that line in that song we sang about this morning? We're marching on design. We're marching through whose ground?
Emmanuel's.
Emmanuel's ground. This is His creation. Leviticus 25:23 reminds us, the land is mine, and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. We're marching through His land on the way to another place that He's created. Not only does God want us to love the world in which that He has created, He wants us to love the people who were created in His image. God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness. Who fits in this category?
Everyone.
Who doesn't fit in this category? No one. Everyone and no one. That's the A part and the B part, right? You'll never encounter a person who was not created in the image of God. You'll never come face to face with an individual who is not deeply loved by God who created them. And God has proved how much He loves the people He created. Heaven. He sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world to die on the cross specifically for that individual. This means that in every interaction that we have with people, we need to keep this idea front and center. That this is an individual who is profoundly loved by God. God has done for this individual what I probably don't even want to do. He died because they marred that image. He died for those sins because He loved them, created them in His image. It's my job to love them. And you know, if we were to count in the Bible how many times God tells us to love one another, that'd keep us busy for a while. And He reminds us of that. You know why He reminds us so much? We tend to forget it, and we tend to not want to do it. I know y'all never been like that. You know, some people are hard to love, aren't they? Huh? Yeah, they're hard to love. But you know, the more we learn to love difficult people, the better we get at it, right? We can flip that around and say, well, we might not be too good at it because we hadn't ever done it. Right? Love God and love your neighbors yourself. If we could get those two, we'd be right in there, wouldn't we? Just as we're taking care of God's creation, we have a responsibility to take care of one another, to love one another, to love as the Father loves us. Because it shows the world who we are. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who's been born of God knows God. So the lesson we learn in Genesis 1 is that God loves all that He has created. And man, didn't He do a good work, huh? Amen?
Amen.
I like them fresh vegetables, don't you? They're good, aren't they? But you know, they wouldn't be here if there was no water, no earth, would it? No sun, no moon, no sky, huh? Well, no people to grow them. But God's put it all together. Man, what vision. And He's done it in such a way that this watch, because of God's creation, the way the sun, the moon, and all that stuff rotates, we can time, huh? And it's God's faithfulness. You know, if everything didn't work like it works, we couldn't measure time the way we measure. Of course, God's not really concerned about time. He's eternal, right? And we know that God has an eternal plan for His people, for His creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where our story begins. The classic opening phrase tells us what we need to know about all that is to come. Back in the 1960s, there was a popular poster that we showed a little black child from one of the nation's urban ghettos. Beneath the picture ran the words, "God don't make no junk." You may remember it. The poster would seem pretty dated today, but the message is not out of date. We need to remind ourselves frequently that we're God's good creation. God don't make no junk. It ain't good. Dr. James Nessinger of the Lutheran Seminary put it, "God loves to create is one of the things God is good at. But kangaroos and rhinos and monkeys and snakes and hissing ostriches and lowing cattle. And there's apples and oranges and mangoes and grapes, pomegranates and acorns and pecans, and there are chocolates, dark and luscious, just waiting to be made into candy or frosting. And then there are people, tall and short, fast and slow, and light and dark, and fat and skinny, and beautiful, and not quite so nice. There are toenails, there's earwax. There's hair that hangs to a woman's waist and a man's head that has become smooth as chrome. And there is you. You are God's good creation." It's a wonderful message. And this message from the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, that God created the heavens and the earth, and each one of us is good. God was at the beginning, and our beginning, we're important to God. And God does not even stop there. But God is the God of new beginnings every day, because he's given us new beginnings through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every day, Jesus is a new day. This is his world. It isn't here by accident or afterthought. And he created it with intention, a plan for his people. God's got a plan for you, a good plan. He created with love and care and with attention to detail. God's attention to detail, man, into something. People are still that study God's creation are still amazed at discovering new things, new details about the way that God has put it all together. He created with love and care and attention to detail that's beyond our ability to even comprehend it. The great thing is the greatness of his creation reflects and reveals his beauty, his glory, and his majesty. This is our Father's world. He's placed us here in the middle of it. He's given us the charge of taking care of our little corner. David wrote, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." This is our Father's world, church. Let us love all that God has created. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word today, and oh man, it's good, Lord, to know that you created it all. We are humbled by it. And it gives us a perspective that we must love everything you've created, even the unlovable. Speak to our hearts, empower us as we go out into the world to represent your image, the image you created us in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand together. Hymn number 83. Something about that hymn.
Amen.
thank you for letting us be a part of them. We pray together and reaffirm our faith in our Lord and our Creator as we pray, our Father, which art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.